Okay, we finished our series on the miracles of Christ. Brother Mark has those printed lessons on the website if you're interested. We want to begin a new series this morning, one that we have done on Wednesday nights a couple years ago. And that is Bible study principles, or how to study the Bible. Several have asked me to do that again, and we've prayed about it. And really, it's probably something we ought to do every now and then. Most of God's people do not know how to profitably study the Bible. I believe there's a lot of pastors that do not know how to profitably study the Bible. And you and I cannot be as spiritually mature as we ought to be if the Bible does not have a primary place in our lives every single day. What we do with the Bible says everything about our spiritual condition, how we treat the Bible, our attitude toward the Bible says everything about our spiritual condition. For I remember when I was first called to preach, preachers buy as many books as you can. By every book you can lay your hands on, and I did. I would give just the opposite advice. I would tell people, learn the Bible. After you've learned that, if you feel led to buy books, go ahead. But learn the Bible. Get in the Word of God. Learn what it says. Study it. In my Bible, or on my Bible, it says, Holy Bible. Holy Bible. Holy means it's pure. The Word of God is pure. But holy also, the root meaning of holy is set apart. That is, it's different than all other books. And that is something we must always keep in mind. The Bible is not just a book. It's different than all books. It's the world's greatest book. It's the most miraculous, the most amazing, and most glorious of all books. Stands unique. Stands by itself. Doesn't need another book. It stands alone. It was written over a span of 1,600 years. Books today are written in a matter of months. I mean, there are people who are putting books out every 2 or 3 months. The Bible was written over a span of 1,600 years by a variety of men who lived in different parts of the world, who had different occupations, different walks in life. And these men, of course, were inspired by the Holy Spirit in their thinking and in their writing. And though they lived in different parts of the world, and though they were from various walks of life, and though they wrote under a variety of circumstances, and they didn't even write in the same literary form. Some wrote poetry, some wrote historical. But in spite of all those things, there is perfect continuity throughout the Bible. And as we've said many times before, the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. If you want to know what a verse of Scripture means, the best thing to do is search the Scriptures, because there's a continuity throughout the Word of God. And somewhere in the Bible, that verse of Scripture will be explained, because the Bible does not contradict itself. We can find out what a verse means by a process of elimination. We can, first of all, determine what it doesn't mean. And we can eliminate a lot of nonsense right there. And that's something that a lot of people fail to do. The Bible, of course, really is a library. It's a library of our English Bibles, a library of 66 books. Yet it is one book. We must not view it as 66 different books, though in a sense it is, but we view it as one book, with one thought, with one purpose. It is a book that is the most practical of all books. It is practical to all times. It is practical to all people. It is practical to all circumstances. Though it is an ancient book, it is the most relevant of all books. And though it is one book, it contains more than all other books combined. It contains more than all other books combined. It can never be exhausted. It can never be mastered. It has been read, it has been studied more than any other book. More than any other book, the Bible has been read. The Bible has been studied. Literally, libraries of commentaries throughout history have been written concerning the Bible, concerning man's thoughts upon the Word of God. Billions of sermons have been preached from the Bible. Yet in spite of all of this, it's never been exhausted. It's never been exhausted. It's never been mastered. Never will be. It'll never be exhausted. You cannot exhaust the Word of God. You cannot master the Word of God. Though the Bible is a supernatural book, that cannot be said of any other book. The Bible is a supernatural book, yet it's not written in supernatural language. It's written in a language that we can understand. The Bible is written as a revelation. The Bible is written to be understood. God did not inspire men to write the Bible so that we couldn't understand it. But the Bible was written to reveal. The Bible was written to unveil. It's not the purpose of the Bible to conceal. It's the purpose of the Bible to unveil. And we need to always remember that when we're reading it. It's not God's purpose to conceal things in the Word of God. If God wants to conceal something, He didn't put it in His book. And there are many things like that. The secret things belong to God. But what He's put in His book, He put there for the purpose of revelation. So it's a supernatural book, yet it is written in human language. That being said, yet it is beyond the natural mind of man. Intelligence has nothing to do with understanding this book. This is a book that is beyond the mind of the natural man. And that's why the Bible The Bible itself isn't dangerous, but it is dangerous when an unconverted individual or a backslidden individual begins to use the Word of God. Because they're not even in a position to understand what it says. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, that's how we're born. We're born as natural men. And the natural man does not receive. He does not have the ability to receive, nor does he have the desire to receive the things of the Spirit of God. In fact, the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness unto him. And then it says, neither can he know them, that is, the things of the Spirit of God. Why can't they know them? Because, stating a reason, they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually unable. The Bible is a spiritual book. And the natural man is unable to receive the things of the Spirit of God. So it's beyond the natural mind of man, not because of obscurity of style, but because of the greatness of its author. Notice in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. This is a lesson that God's people need to learn. They need to have it ingrained in them. And it certainly is true concerning the Word of God. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Then he states the difference. We have thoughts, but our thoughts and God's thoughts are not the same. Talking about the natural man. We have our ways, but our ways are different than God's ways. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the Bible is a very unique book, and it must be treated as such. We cannot treat it as any other book. It disturbs me to just see someone take a Bible and just throw it down in a pew. That disturbs me. Perhaps it shouldn't. It does. It disturbs me sometimes to see how people treat the Bible. Today, so-called Christianity abounds with superficiality. And Christianity today is so far removed from what is described in the Bible. And I believe one of the reasons for the superficiality is just plain indifference toward the Bible. Just plain indifference toward the Bible. I mean, how can a child of God have a Bible sitting on their table at home or sitting on their desk and walk by it every day and never once think about picking it up? I don't understand that. How can that be? That is a great disregard, a great indifference toward the Bible. How can a child of God be more apt to read the newspaper than the Bible? To read the sport page more than the Bible? To study it? To talk about it through the day more than the Bible? I mean, something is seriously wrong with that whole picture. The Bible must. You can go to church every time the church doors are open. But the Bible must have a place of daily importance and prominence in your life. It has to. If you are going to have any spirituality about you at all. The spiritual health of a child of God is directly connected with what we do with this book. Not just every now and then, but what we do with it on a daily basis. It can't just have an occasional place in our life. It's not enough just to take it to church. There are people, the only time they pick up a Bible is when they take it to church. That seems hypocritical to me. Why don't you leave it at home then too? That's the only time they pick it up. Just bring it to church. Some will leave their Bibles in the back window of their car or leave in the back seat of the car all week long till the next time they come to church. That's pitiful. That's sinful. And that is why spiritual immaturity is so rampant today. So whatever God calls us to do with the Bible, He calls us to do that daily. Does God say read the Bible? Yes, He does. Does He say study it and search it and meditate upon it and apply it? Yes, He does. When are we to do those things? Every day. Every day. Well, I don't have time. I have a busy schedule. You need to rearrange your schedule. We all have the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours in a day. There are people who need to rearrange their schedule. Because the Bible is to have a daily and a continuous. I dare say the busier you are in this world, the more you ought to be in this book. So the daily and continuous place of the Bible in our lives cannot be overstated. It cannot be overemphasized. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture is profitable. That is, the Bible is meant to be of benefit to you and I. That includes, all Scripture includes the genealogies. All Scripture is profitable. That is, it is of value. It is of use. Whatever God calls us to do with the Bible, He does so that it would be profitable, beneficial to us. And be sure of this. If the Scriptures are not profitable to you, that is, you read it, but it makes no difference. You do not profit. The fault is not with the Scriptures. The fault lies with the individual. You're doing something wrong. If the Scriptures are not profitable, then we are doing something wrong. We are going about it in a wrong way. If you read the Bible and it does not profit you, you're not doing it right. There's something that you are doing wrong. You may be doing everything wrong, but there's something that you're doing wrong. So we want to look at five things. Again, this is all leading up to, it's going to take a while, to the basic principles of studying the Bible. There are printed out lessons in the back. We'll be on this one for several weeks. First of all, there is a call to read the Bible. We have to read it. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 17, Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of his law in a book out of that which is bore before the priest and Levites, and it should be with him, and he shall read therein. It doesn't mean that we read books about the Bible. We are to read therein. We must read the Bible. Reading books about the Bible, reading commentaries, is not equivalent to reading the Bible. Don't ever confuse the two. Read therein. How often is he to do this? All the days of his life. And then we have the prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, that. Read therein all the days of his life that he may learn. That he may learn. Well, I go to church to learn. You may pick up some things, but if you neglect the Word of God, you are not in a position to learn a whole lot in church. You read the Bible to learn. To learn. To learn to do what? To fear the Lord. To reverence God. That's inward. You learn some things that are inward because that's where it begins. If you don't learn this lesson of reverence to God, you're not going to profit spiritually. Learn, you read that you might learn to fear the Lord. To keep. You read in order to apply, in order to obey all the words of this law and these statutes. And then notice, to do. You read to do. To obey. You don't just read the Bible to say, I read X amount of chapters today. You may have. You may have read 30 chapters today. But if you didn't get anything out of it, what's the point? I may have read 3 words and got something out of it. Who's better off? It's not how much of the Bible you read today. It's what you learn from it. Sometimes, and again, we'll get into this more, sometimes, I've stated before, I'm not a big fan of Bible reading schedules. If you need that, that's fine. I personally am not a big fan. Because read the Bible through in a year, and that's a good thing to do, but don't mistake that for Bible study. Because you reading 6-7 chapters a day, you are probably reading it fairly quickly, and it's mostly just glancing, and you're not really reading to learn. And that's what it's all about. Notice Isaiah 34, and we'll stop. In Isaiah 34, verse 16. Isaiah 34, verse 16. Seek ye, and I have circled in my Bible, out of the book. You don't read into it. You gather out of it. Big difference. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. And read. So there is a call to read the Bible. We are to do this every single day. We are to do it continuously. It is to be our habit to read the Bible. Everyone, there are many different ways in which people learn. And so what works for one person may not work for someone else. But you need to find out what works for you, and you need to read. You need to read the Bible. It's not speed reading. You need to read it very carefully, read it very slowly. So we'll look at that more next week. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heaven